My memoir is called Little Sister, and it started out being about my childhood, but very quickly has morphed into being mostly about my father, which I never expected. But I'm going to read you one chapter about him, me and him. Dad passed away on Monday at the age of 88, and his service was planned for the following Sunday. On Saturday morning, I was opening the gallery in Millinocket and standing at the kitchen window opening the curtains. This window has become somewhat of a portal, giving me glimpses of things of importance from time to time, so I have become alert when new things pop into view there. Once, for instance, as I stood there, my college sweetheart, whom I hadn't seen in 50 years, drove up and got out of a car. I have learned to pay attention at that window. On this day, as I stood there, a small dark red car pulled into the driveway. I didn't recognize it and thought there was more than one person in the car. People who pull in and park at the end of that driveway are usually either really good friends or not that familiar with the gallery or need directions. I did not recognize the car, nor did I know the small man getting out. I followed his progress around to the front door where he came right in. He was maybe even smaller than me and came right up to talk to me, breaching my personal space, but not in an offensive way. I asked if I could help him, thinking he might be lost. His gaze was disarmingly direct and confident, almost like he was looking through me. He said he'd seen my painting on the side of the gallery building, the one on the Penobscot Avenue side, that was of the entrance to Katahdin Lake, the one I liked the best, and wanted to know if I could paint one for him on a mirror that he had. I was suddenly so confused with feelings. For one thing, he was obviously very poor. He was nearly in rags and had only one tooth in front, and his skin had the look of being sooty, like extremely poor people who heat with wood and do not have running water, nor the opportunity to beg to bathe regularly. I still had not answered his question, and he was looking me straight in the eye, waiting for an answer. My father had grown up very poor, and I felt I was looking into my father's eyes, that this man knew me. I was ashamed of the fact that my reluctance to say yes came from knowing that he couldn't pay me a dime. I also didn't know what I had for a paint medium that would stick to glass, and didn't feel like taking the time to research something for which I probably wouldn't get paid. I was taking too long to answer. He told me how he had been driving by and loved my painting, and it was just what he wanted. I could not escape the feeling that behind those piercing eyes was my father, and he was testing my humanity and generosity. I tried to suggest that he go down the street to another gallery or up on the hill where there was an artist's co-op where someone might be able to paint on a mirror like he wanted, but I was having trouble convincing even myself, and I could tell he sensed it. Those intense little dark eyes were waiting for me to say yes. They were not asking for charity or kindness. Any offer of either had to come from me, and I couldn't do it. I felt I was failing everything my father had taught me and disappointing him. I realized in that moment I could never be the person he was, and in a very small way I accepted I was different from him that way. I am more commercial, especially about painting, and more ambitious about it. I expect compensation, and some of my feelings of worth are based on that compensation. Not only that, but I am just never going to be the Samaritan my father was. I looked at this little man staring hopefully at me, waiting for an answer, and finally said no to him, to go somewhere else, even though the reason he stopped was just because he loved my painting on the building. I was turning away pure, innocent appreciation for a God-given talent because of money and apathy. Whatever happened to the 30-year-old girl who felt the divine had tapped her on the shoulder and given her the blessing to paint? The little man left the gallery and got into his car, and I felt in my heart that I had sent my father away and regretted it. As I saw him in his little dark red car go around the corner and up the street, I saw that he was alone in the car after all, and I wished I could call him back. I wished I could honor that part of myself that is like him. I thought that if I got another chance that I'd say yes, but I knew I wouldn't. And I knew the unsentimental, tough part of my father had just visited me with a clear message about how I'm not as compassionate and as loving as I'd like to think I am. What I would like to have done was hug him, but that denies what the man needed, which was the gift of my talent, not my affection. How often others determine what they need from you, and your gift is only to listen and offer what they need, not what you need to give. How clearly the event of this morning represented the paradigm for my relationship with my father. After he was out of sight, I began to make peace with the difference between my extraordinary father and myself. Then I went and sat in my favorite chair and wrote the eulogy to him that I would read the next day at his funeral, with no illusions about who he was or who I am.